God's word in Esther chapter 9 and verse 20. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. And Mordecai recorded these things and sent letters to all the Jews who were in all the provinces of King Ahasuerus, both near and far, obliging them to keep the 14th day of the month of Adar, and also the 15th day of the same, year by year, as the days on which the Jews got relief from their enemies, and as the month that had been turned for them from sorrow into gladness, and from mourning into a holiday, that they should make them days of feasting and gladness, days for sending gifts of food to one another and gifts to the poor. So the Jews accepted what they had started to do, and what Mordecai had written to them. For Haman the Agagite, the son of Hammedatha, the enemy of all the Jews, had plotted against the Jews to destroy them, and had cast pur, that is, cast lots, to crush and to destroy them. But when it came before the king, he gave orders in writing that his evil plan that he had devised against the Jews should return on his own head, and that he and his sons should be hanged on the gallows. Therefore they called these days Purim, or Purim, after the term Pur. Therefore, because of all that was written in his letter, and of what they had faced in this matter, and of what they had happened to him, them, the Jews firmly obligated themselves and their offspring, and all who joined them, that without fail they would keep these 2 days according to what was written, and at the time appointed every year, that these days should be remembered and kept throughout every generation, in every clan, province, and city, and that these days of Purim should never fall into disuse among the Jews, nor should the commemoration of these days cease among their descendants. You may be seated. So far, the reading of God's Word. I keep your Bibles open and handy. I would ask you to do so for the message on the Purim party. Dear congregation of Christ, brothers, sisters, and the Lord, there was a small town in Alabama. It turned into the city of the Enterprise, Alabama, that raised up a monument. And it's an interesting, unique monument because back, I believe it was in 1912. You can Google this, not now, later, but you can Google this story, a true story coming out of Enterprise, Alabama, that back in 1912, they were expecting this great big bumper crop of cotton. And the farmers were just getting ready, right, to get in the fields and gather in all of the cotton. And all of a sudden, the boll weevil invaded this cotton crop and just devastated it. And the economy tanked, and the farmers, well, they didn't want to go in the poorhouse. So as farmers do, they came up with a plan, and they were very enterprising farmers. They decided, all right, we're not going to plant cotton anymore. We're going to plant peanuts. We're going to plant peanuts because the boll weevil, it's a beetle, doesn't like peanuts. And, for the rest of the story, there's this booming billion-dollar industry that came out of the cotton industry turned into the industry of peanuts all the way back in 1912. And you know what people did back then? They said, you know what, we got to remember this. We got to remember this. We got to keep this memory alive. So they actually built this huge statue with this great big beetle. The boll weevil in the hands of this, looked like a Greek goddess to me, but it was to remember that, right? Because they were saying to themselves, the farmers and the community, they were busy saying to themselves, we cannot forget this day. We cannot forget this day that even though it looked like the worst, actually, the best came out of the worst. The best came out of the worst. And that's really what Purim is. That's really what baptism reminds us of. The feast, the festival of Purim, or Purim. This day that God's people were celebrating, that just at the right time, when it looked like the worst was going to happen to us, God pulled off his miraculous reversal and brought about the actual best. I appreciate the word of the Lord as it comes to us here as Mordecai is ordering a Purim or Purim party. It's a time to party and celebrate after fighting, right, in self-defense. God's enemies were coming at them, they defended themselves, and God granted them a great victory. So they are to remember, what does it mean to be a Purim people? What does it mean to celebrate Purim as Christians? It means that we are to remember, we are to rejoice, and we are to remember and rejoice in the rest that God gives us through Jesus Christ, the Lord of the Sabbath, the Lord of the rest, the Lord who is so enterprising when it comes to His grace in our lives. Remember, the boll weevil? No. With jogging our memory with the waters of baptism, what God did to defeat His enemies. Mordecai recorded this and He obliged them, verse 21, to keep the 14th day of the month of Adar. That was March 21. What did you do in last March 21, last week? Celebrate Purim? Someone just shared with me that someone gave them the gift of food. That's what God's people back then did. That's what the Jews were doing last week as they paused and they pondered. They thought about what God did so long ago in the lives of Mordecai and Esther. They gave food and they remembered the poor, but it was a day to remember what? That God turned gladness into mourning, a holiday, and that God's people were brought from sadness into great joy. Purim or Purim means lots. And the remember, right, that Haman the Agagite plotted, plotted to destroy the Jews. And he cast cast lots. Purim is the plural for lots. And you remember that story back in Esther chapter 3, as Haman, who was an antichrist figure, he was opposed to Christ. Jesus Christ, all the way back then, the coming of Jesus, he wanted to defeat that. He wanted to snuff out and wipe out the line from which our Messiah, the Lord Jesus Christ, would come. And what did he do? He cast lots. It's kind of like rolling the dice. He believed in fate. Hoping, right, that maybe the Zoroastrian gods out there, or fate, or the roll of the dice, chance, by luck, on this day, he would have his way, that he would defeat the Jews, because Mordecai, the Jew, would not bow down, remember, to him. It was a day to remember. To remember what? To remember that God turns what's supposed to be a day of disaster, a day of destruction, right? God turns that around. The worst, he turns into the best in the lives of his people. It's a personal story for Esther and Mordecai, for you and for me too, for all of God's people. God turns what was supposed to be a day of destruction into what? A day when he delivers his people and grabs them out of the jaws of evil and the evil one. Remember that day. Remember what? Remember especially to rejoice. Remember especially that our lives are not about, okay, let's roll the dice. It's a box of chocolates. It's luck or fate. It's a crapshoot. It's a wheel of fortune. Who knows? Life's an accident. It's all blind fate. No. We remember, and this is what baptism reminds us of, dear friends. In the waters of baptism, God is reminding us. Keep the memory alive. Remember what God has done. That God is a God to Oliver and a God to us and our children, that he's saying, I am way ahead of you on your darkest days. I am way ahead of you. My hand is guiding you in this world. My hand is the hand, it's the gospel of God's hand, the hand of his providence. He provides, right? And he's guiding in a sovereign love. He's way ahead of us. And he's way ahead of where we will go and will ever go for our good. It looks like the darkest of days, the worst of times. Well, remember the story of Esther. Remember Purim. Purim means your life is not a matter of chance. It's not an accident. Whatever happens in your life is not accidental or coincidental. It is appointed by God. Wait and watch. Be patient. Look for God to turn what? The Monday blues or the dark days from Monday to Saturday Right? On the Lord's Day, we remember and celebrate that we are not our own. We belong to this faithful Father in heaven. Remember. And then certainly rejoice. Rejoice. The Purim party, Purim party, God is ordering through Mordecai, right? He's the VP now, the second in charge, right below King Xerxes or Ahasuerus. And he says, these are to be days, right? These are to be days, verse 22, of feasting and gladness, days for sending gifts of food to one another and gifts to the poor. The Jews, verse 27, firmly obligated themselves and their offspring. So it's not just for adults, it's for children. And that's what baptism is teaching us this morning. It's not just for you, mom and dad. It's for your kids and mine as well. That we will not fail, but we will keep these 2 days. The days of Purim. The days of God's great deliverance for His people. Purim was to be a blast. It was to be a blast. It was a time of great joy and happiness. You read an article I did, caught my eye, right? It's on my mind, in Times Herald Record the last couple of weeks. They've ran articles on Purim and God's, the Old Covenant people Israel, and now today the Jews take time, right? They celebrate. They dress up in costumes. Their kids are dressed in, Superman uniforms or something like that to remember their heroes of time past, right? Mordecai and Esther. And it's a great day of laughing. It's a great day of eating a lot of food. It's a day to just have a wonderful, great time as a family to remember and to rejoice. That was this holy day. God didn't command it, but it was a spontaneous response to God's supernatural grace that compelled God's people to remember. And not just once, one off, every single year. It will not fail. We will not fail. These days must be remembered. These days will be remembered. In commemoration of these days, it will not cease among our descendants. March 21. Boys and girls, how do you do that? How can you be a Purim person? What does that mean? Boys and girls, it means really the story of Esther points us to the story of Easter. When you think of Esther, think of Easter. Jesus died. It looked like the worst was happening to Jesus. It was the worst day in many respects, in a lot of ways. But God brought about the best day ever. Jesus rose from the dead in victory. So boys and girls, ask your mom if you can help her bake a cake for Easter coming up. It's a holy day. It's a special day. It's coming up soon. Ask to bake a cake and ask your mom if she could make a cake in the form, in the shape of a lamb. A cake like a lamb. That's right, Lincoln. Good. And that lamb reminds us of Jesus, the Lamb of God, who came to do what? What looked like the worst day came out to be the best day ever, to take away the sins of the world, to take away the sins of not only moms and dads, but boys and girls too. And then let's all have the clean plate club. Okay, clean plates. Why? Because the plate's empty. Why? Because the tomb of Jesus is empty. That's how you can remember, boys and girls. That's how you can rejoice. And my brothers and sisters, we have so much more reason than the Jews who don't have Christ as their Messiah. But you do. We do. We have a Savior. We have so many more reasons to rejoice and be happy and to be glad and to show it. Show it. People certainly were glad. Even the worst happened back in Alabama, in Enterprise, Alabama, to raise a monument. Remember those days. Let us remember. Our God returns grief into joy. Why? Because he gives rest to his enemies. You hear that word relief. It's really the word rest, and it's very significant. The word rest means rest from our enemies, rest from our enemies of Haman, right? And Satan himself, who is working through Haman to wipe out God's people. And God has given us rest through the resurrection of Jesus Christ, rest from our enemies, sin and Satan, death and hell that never give up. Right, to try to wipe us out and take us out, to take, well, to steal our joy, to take away our peace. It can't be taken away, your peace and joy. Not when your peace with God and your joy in God is found in Jesus Christ the Lord. How much more joyful. My dear friends, when our grief is turned into joy, I mean, what is joy? Joy means, I'm joyful. It means I know ultimately, because Christ is risen from the dead, the light of God's love is going to shine in darkness. The darkness is going to start disappearing. If not now, certainly on the last day when Jesus returns, it's going to disappear and all will be well, all will be bright, all will be light. Because Jesus Christ is victorious. And so we're called to believe that, and the joyfulness means I believe that all things are working together for my good and I don't have to give up hope. And that joy should be contagious. It should be seen. Do people see it in you? You see the change that comes over God's people, sadness to joy, right? Mourning to gladness. There's an obvious difference Purim makes in God's people. Do people see that in you? Do they see that in me? Do they hear it? With loud singing and shouts of joy in praise because of Easter. The guests and visitors see that in you. Do your neighbors, mine, our co-workers, our friends, our teammates, are they seeing that difference? That we find our joy and peace, not in stuff, not in something, but in someone. In Jesus Christ. It should change the way you act and feel. Your emotions and mine. And dear friends, we've heard it before. I'm going to say it again. How do you live out your baptism? How do you respond to the baptism? It means that there are people in this world that they look at you and me. We're not perfect. We're flawed and failed sinners, just like Esther and Mordecai. But you may be the only Bible people read. You may be the only Jesus Christ that they see. They see it when you're partying with a grace fast. More on that in a second. We remember and we rejoice in the rest that God gives us. The rest that God gives us. So, dear friends, as we see there, there were many joining the Jews. Verse 27, they firmly obligated themselves. Mordecai orders this. They do it without fail. They remember and rejoice in the relief, the rest that Purim pointed to. And that's what Sunday is for us, congregation. You realize that? Sundays are to be the festivals for Christians. Sundays, that is the Lord's Day, when we remember Jesus Christ had his angel roll that stone away. And the stone was rolled away in the tomb of Jesus. The disciples were able to go in and see for themselves, right? That Jesus Christ has left the grave behind. That he has brought his people, all who trust and believe in him, from grief into gladness, from mourning into great joy. Is that your Easter experience? Is it mine? Every Sunday is Easter. Every Sunday is Christmas. Christmas probably gets the closest of what's happening in Purim or Purim. It captures, right, the gift giving. We receive the greatest gift of all from Jesus Christ our Lord, who died and rose from the dead for us and for our sins, for our salvation. And it's a great day of joy, of gift giving and giving gifts to others, of remembering the poor, of caring for the benevolent needs of others. So Sundays are the festive holidays for Christians to remember and to rejoice in Jesus Christ. This is how we're to be Purim people. This is how we are to respond to what God says in baptism. I bury you in the grave with Jesus. That's what the waters of baptism mean. I bury you there. But what looks like the worst, I raise you up to newness of life that never ends. Let us remember this day. Let us rejoice without failure. What that means, first of all, you've been baptized. That means for you to rest. Give it a rest, would you? Give it a rest. What do I mean by that? Rest from all of your efforts, from everything you want to do to get God to love you, to get God on your side, to be on God's good graces, for God to love you and like you. Okay, I got to keep on jumping through all these religious hoops. I got to pray the prayer. I got to go to church. I got to give money. I got to give to the poor. I got to get, you know, all of that. Give it a rest. Rest in the finished work of Jesus, His effort, His performance. That's all you need. And ultimately, that's all you'll ever want. It's all what God the Father wants. You put your hope and trust in Jesus and His blood and righteousness for you and your salvation, then you can rest. Rest from all the trying to perform for God. You can rest in God the Father's approval and acceptance. That's how you're pure in person, and I am too. And it also means, as parents, right? You see this language of remembering, and remembering with our descendants, with our children. Mordecai is really a spiritual father figure for God's people. And as fathers especially, we're called to lead our children in remembering and rejoicing on the day of rest, right? The day of rest. Remember the Lord's day to keep it holy. Remember the rest our Redeemer has won for us and our children. Someone reminded me of this. I shared it a while back. I'm going to share it again. How do we respond to baptism? We do so as parents, as fathers, especially, and as mothers. There was a survey taken, a study done by Touchstone magazine back in 2003 in June. In 2003, the magazine Touchstone, and it talks about the influence of a parent's church attendance on their children. Now get this, when a father and a mother regularly attend church, 33% of the time their children will attend. But when the father, listen now, please get this, when a father does not attend, but doesn't want to remember and rejoice on the day of rest in God's house, when the father is non-practicing, but the mother is practicing, only 2% of their 2% of their children will be attending. But when the father is a regular attender and the mom is non-practicing, mom isn't going to church, 44% of the children of these parents will be attending church. Dads, we are under obligation. As for me and my house, right? We will remember. We will serve the Lord. We will rejoice on the day of rest. It's not only for us, it's for our descendants and our children. The powerful impact and influence, certainly of a mother, but especially of a father. Dear friend, the secular psychologists see this. It's only proving what the Bible has said for years. The criminologists, the psychologists, the psychiatrists, and all the secular experts out there see the influence of father, and there are fatherless families. Men of God, let's lift up our hearts. Men of God, our eyes. And let us, without fail, obligate ourselves and our children And others will join us as we see, as they see us enjoying God's gifts of rest, God's good gifts with guilt-free joy. Enjoy God's good gifts. That's what it means to be a Purim people. To remember, right, to put these mental monuments, these mental, memorials up. And that's what baptism is. It's just this memorial, right? It's this monument reminding us of whose we are and who we are to be and the people we are to become. We are to enjoy God's gifts. And those whom we don't have on the radar, remember, did you catch this? I didn't say it last time, but it's here. Those who join them, verse 27, those who are not on your radar right now are on God's radar, and God is going to use you and your remembering and rehearsing and rejoicing in the Lord to bring others, right, not yet Christians, to come in on the party, to celebrate Jesus Christ with you. They're on God's radar. And you all, some of you have your stories, right, of how God, I've never expected, right? They're the worst, right? And God makes them into the best. So far gone, right? So remember the poor and the needy on the day of rest. Remember benevolent needs. And also remember those who are poor because they are without God and without hope. They don't have Jesus Christ as their Savior and Lord. Share with them. Right, financially, but share with them the riches of the grace of God. Enjoy God's gifts. That's what it means to be really reformed. I'm going to be a little provocative here. You want to be really reformed? I do. And what I mean by that, all we mean is being a biblical Christian. But congregation, we're not very good at this when it comes to enjoying God's gifts. I know, because I'm not very good at it. But what I mean by that is we're not very good at enjoying God's gifts because, you know what, we don't want anybody to know how much we paid for that expensive hotel. I'd like to buy a new Easter dress, but boy, I know someone's going to be looking at me and looking me up and down and... Didn't you just buy a new dress, right? We're all making mental notes. Who's driving the new car? Who's wearing the new clothes? Who has the new and all of this? And we feel the eyes on us, right? Like, I can't enjoy God's gifts. I'm telling you, you have freedom in Jesus Christ to enjoy, to savor, to just appreciate the pleasure of God in your life and enjoying your wife, your children. Yes, a new suit. Guilt-free. A new dress. The beautiful gifts of God that He gives to us because He's a faithful Father. He says so in the waters of baptism. Enjoy God's good gifts. And let's cut each other some slack. Okay? That's what it means to be reformed, Bible-believing Christians. To let others enjoy. Can we put it this way? The finer things in life without worrying, anxious. We get worried and anxious on holidays. Stress out under pressure. What are people going to think? It's okay to splurge sometimes without a bitter aftertaste. Enjoy. It's not easy. Sometimes it's easier for us to grieve and be gloomy and down in the dumps and Eeyore. There's a challenge for us, Purim people. Enjoy. Build monuments so your days of joy in Jesus Christ may never, ever be forgotten. Keep those memories alive, right? That's what the people in Enterprise, Alabama did. A monument of all things to the boll evil, right? Weevil, excuse me, the boll weevil. God turning right in our lives. Some of the worst moments, right? Going without a child for years, wanting to conceive. But you can't. But maybe you did. God has given you rest and relief. Going for months without a job. Facing financial collapse. Your business implodes. Losing a loved one. Enduring the dark days. Dear friends, this is the day to remember and rejoice that God transforms miraculously, supernaturally our lives, some of our worst moments to be some of our very best days. Will you remember? Will you keep the memory alive? Not only for you, but also for your descendants. Will you be a pure people? Will you keep enjoying God's enterprising grace in your life? Will you sing for joy? Will you really celebrate? And dads, will we step up and step in and say, we're under obligation? My dear friends, why can't this be your joy? Why can't this be your story? Why can't this Jesus be your Savior? Amen. Let's pray.